Well, good morning and welcome back once again to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. We're really glad you're able to join us again this morning for another message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I think you're going to find today's message a very interesting one, and honestly one that may even be a little eye-opening. So without any further delay, here's Pastor Reynolds with a message that we've called, Don't Miss Jesus.
In Matthew 7, verse 21 through verse 23, Jesus emphasizes this fact, don't miss Jesus. In all of your doing, in all of your living, in all of your religious life, don't miss Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, preaches to his followers this very important point. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice here, Jesus Christ is speaking very emphatically. Jesus Christ is speaking very clearly to his followers. Jesus Christ is not speaking to those that do not follow him. Jesus Christ wants each one of us to make sure that we don't miss Jesus Christ. Notice in Matthew 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ wanted people to have a change of mind. Jesus Christ wanted people to follow him because he is the master. Jesus Christ wants it to be very clearly understood that nobody can be saved if they do not follow him. Notice, in the book of Matthew 4 and verse 23, before Jesus Christ began to preach the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus Christ first, he said, I want you to repent. I want you to have a change of mind. And then the Bible says that he went into all the places where they lived and he preached the kingdom of God and he healed all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. Look what happened in verse 24. The Bible said, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Jesus Christ healed all kinds of people that came unto him. There were sick people. There were demon-possessed people. There were people that were lunatic, the Bible says, that Jesus Christ healed them all. But notice in verse 24, the Bible said, and they brought unto him. These are the people that brought all of these sick folks unto Christ. My, there are sick folks everywhere. You can think of people you know right now, I'm sure, that are sick, that you need to bring to Christ, that you pray for every day. But listen, speaking of those people that brought the sick people unto Christ, the Bible said in verse 25, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from Jordan. There's people from every direction that followed Jesus Christ, that wanted to listen to him, that wanted him to heal them, because there was people that were sick in that day. In chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and Jesus Christ, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, And when it was set, his disciples came unto him. So in particular here, Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, those followers of his. These are the ones that he really warns about not following him and trusting in all their works instead of following him. Just remember this, that Matthew 7, verse 21 through verse 23, that Jesus Christ is speaking to those followers of Christ, those that have brought other sick folk unto him, and he has healed them. Remember that. Now, Jesus Christ is not changing the context from speaking to his followers to not speaking to his followers. Sometimes I get the impression from some church members that Christ is not speaking to them, rather he is speaking to somebody else. But Christ is here speaking to his followers, just as he spoke to his followers in all the other parts of this great message. Look, if you believe that Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, is speaking to you as a believer in Christ, but Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, is not speaking to you, you are wrong. I am wrong if I don't take this passage quite literally. The Bible said that Christ desires each follower of his to be very aware that there is coming a day when they will be judged by himself. Understand that there's coming a day when Jesus Christ himself will judge all of our works. Jesus Christ is God. That is true. And Jesus Christ will give us a penalty if we do not serve him the way that he wants us to serve him. Regardless of what we think of our faithfulness will be tried by Christ, who is God. And it won't make any difference what I think, because Christ is my eternal judge. And Christ is your eternal judge. Each of us, you see, each of us stands or falls based upon God's confession of us as being one of his. Each of us stands or falls based upon whether or not we meet God's standard, which is fulfilled in Christ. Each of us do not stand based upon what we have done. Rather, we stand based upon what Christ has done for us. It makes all the difference in the world. Notice again, in Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus states, "Not every one that saith unto me." Christ is here proclaiming to this people that he is the one that they will answer to. This is absolutely the truth. Jesus Christ is the one that we also will answer to. During this life, each person has somebody they're going to answer to. But in eternity, all will stand before God, and Jesus Christ is God, and we will give an account of our lives. We will be judged at either the judgment seat of Christ, if we are saved, or the great white throne judgment, if we are lost. In this passage, however, in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus Christ is referring to the great white throne judgment. And at this judgment, there's going to be some good people, I put that in quotes, will appear, convinced that there is some sort of mistake that has been made. Notice what an ironic thing this is, that these people are appearing at the great white throne judgment, and they're thinking that Christ has made a mistake. He is the omnipotent, supreme God. He doesn't make any kind of mistakes. He's a perfect one. But notice, they proclaim all of their good works, but they never do say that they have trusted Christ as their only Savior. Do you understand here that they have depended upon the wrong thing? They have completely relied upon what they have done, not on what Christ has done for them. They're lost, but they have lived good lives, proclaiming the name of the Lord and even doing miracles and casting out devils in the name of, that is, in the authority of, the Lord. These people do say, "Lord, Lord," in Matthew 7:21, do they not? But it is very obvious they are not completely depending upon Christ to keep them out of hell. They're depending, however, on all of their good works. These people are not depending upon what Christ has done, you see. They are rather depending upon their good works. This is what they say. These people use the right terms. They say, Lord, Lord, but they are depending upon what they have done, not on what Christ has done for them. Then Christ states in Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, these are the words of Jesus Christ. It's not what I am saying. These are not the words of any human being. But these are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ declares, he will profess unto them, I never knew you. Do you understand that Jesus Christ is who will speak? He declares, I never knew you. Will you be included in this group of people who at the great white throne judgment will be eternally judged? Will you be there? Are you trusting in what you have done? Or are you trusting only in what Christ has done for you? Are you trusting in your faithfulness? Or are you trusting in God's faithfulness? I think it's very plain that we need to always make sure that we are saved by the grace of Almighty God. We don't have anything to offer the Lord except what He has already given to us. I mean, that's all that He will accept. Doing the will of the Father is found in Matthew 7 and verse 21. The Bible states, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In this place, why doesn't Jesus say that these people should repent and believe the gospel in order to be saved? Why does he use the statement, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven? Because the word believing, while it is true, does not contain the whole of salvation. The person who does not follow after Christ and Christ alone, letting all the works fall where they may, does not have Christ. Even though he says he believes in Christ, or has made a profession of Christ, he still does not have salvation. That's very clear in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. At this point, you may need to think about Judas Iscariot. He was a man who was a professed believer in Jesus Christ. He was a man who was an apostle, who was called of God to be an apostle. He was the one that John the Baptist baptized. But he was also a betrayer of Jesus Christ. None of the other disciples even had a hint that this man was a deceiver, but he was. We need to make sure that we are really eternally saved. The greatest commandment of the law is revealed in Matthew 22 and verse 36 through verse 40, when Jesus Christ was asked this very vital question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, these lost people in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, have done a lot of good works, but they simply do not love God, nor do they love His ways, nor are they completely devoted to Christ. They are instead devoted only to themselves. They show this fact when they repeat what they have done for Christ, but never mention that they are sinners saved by the grace of God. Why? Because they've never been saved by the grace of Almighty God. Listen, what do they and us really deserve? We all deserve hell. We deserve complete eternal destruction forever. We deserve to be away from Almighty God, who loved humans so much that he voluntarily died a sinner's death for us. Notice in 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and verse 11, the Bible states here, "Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Notice that Peter said, "Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Peter did not say, "To make sure you work hard." Peter said, "Make your calling and election sure." He goes on and explains that. "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Right here is what we all want. But will we all receive from God what we want? If we don't have true salvation, we will receive eternal damnation, not eternal rewards, not what we want. The folks in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, received everlasting damnation, not because they failed to do good works, but because they failed to do the will of God as outlined in Matthew 7 and verse 21. We must do things God's way, not our way. Salvation, you see, is from the Lord to us. It is not from us to God. It is not from ourselves to ourselves. But salvation is a gift that God freely gives unto undeserving, hell-bound, deserving to go sinners just like you and just like me. Do the will of God is also found in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through 9, as a prelude to verse 10 and verse 11, which we just read. But none of these things include prophesying, or casting out devils, or doing many wonderful works. All of these items represent private, holy living by accepting and applying the promises of God. Read this passage, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 through verse 9. The Bible said here, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You see, we are not to look at all the things we have done to make sure we are saved. The folks in Matthew 7, 21 through 23 were looking at the wrong things. They were looking at the things they had done, and not at what Christ had done for them. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 through 11 emphatically declares, "It is wrong to look at all of the things that we have done. Instead, we ought to look at what Christ has done for us. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, it is not what we have done that reveals our salvation. Rather, it is God who has called us. It is God who has elected us to salvation. Many make a confession that Jesus is Lord, just as the folks in Matthew 7, 21 through 23 have done. Many have been baptized, and many have lived their lives, counting up all the good things they have done for Christ. Sadly, I have known some people like this, but it is much, much better to recognize that we're all sinners. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who died for us while we were yet sinners, we would still be lost. We can study about what the will of God is, both internally and externally. As Matthew 7:21 through 23 describes some folks who religiously perform good works, but remain lost because they do not perform good works internally. They are counting on all their good works to save them. They are not completely relying only on the blood Jesus Christ shed for them on the cross of Calvary. Notice the book of Romans 10 and verse 8 through 10 states, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, salvation is in the heart. It is the center, the core of the existence of man. Salvation is not in the external works of the flesh, such as going to church or giving tithes and offerings, helping the poor, feeding the needy, being baptized, joining the church, or healing the sick, working hard, taking care of the family, raising the dead, paying taxes, not complaining at the wickedness of government, and so forth and so on. But notice, Romans 10 and verse 8 through verse 15 does not say that a person can just believe on Christ and do a good work without God touching them. This is the essence of the whole thing. The part about salvation is that it starts and ends with God. We are simply in the middle. God has done everything possible. Notice what the Bible says here in Romans 10, verse number 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The thing is that many people, instead of trusting Christ, simply laying it all at the feet of Jesus Christ, are trusting in themselves. The Bible says in verse 9 of Romans 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Why? The Bible goes on in verse number 10, explains this, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We are not. Regardless of what we might say, it is trusting in Jesus Christ that gives salvation. Notice, the Bible said in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then the Bible says this in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So there must be a believing before a person ever calls on the name of the Lord. The Bible continues in verse 14, "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The Bible makes it very clear in this place that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation relieves us of sin. Salvation is the greatest thing that a person can ever have. You know why? It's because whenever you're saved one time, you're saved forevermore. That is such a blessing. Jesus Christ saves eternally. Jesus Christ touches us eternally. If you trust in your works, you're still lost. That's all we know to say. Jesus Christ is the one that you need to be trusting in. Don't trust in your church membership. Don't trust in your baptism. Don't trust in your good works. Rather, trust only in Jesus Christ. Think of it. That's all we have left, is to trust in Jesus Christ. I don't have anything else to give. This is the thing that the folks that Jesus Christ is preaching to in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, had missed. Jesus Christ told them very plainly and very clearly. Jesus Christ presented unto them the truth of the judgment and how severe it's going to be. Because Jesus Christ is going to be the one that judges us, and He is the one that we must go through in order to be saved. He's the one that we must go through in order to enter into the kingdom of God. All the works that we can do are nothing at all. But only by trusting in Jesus Christ and His own shed blood can a person be saved. If you're lost today, we pray for you that God would bless you with salvation. I know that He's well able to touch your own heart. I know that He is well able to give you eternal life. But if you're trusting in anything that you have done in order to gain eternal life, you're simply trusting in the wrong thing. You need to always trust only in Christ. The salvation that He gives is real. I tell you what, it's better to have a real faith than have a false faith, because your eternity is based upon that. We pray for you today that Christ would give you everlasting life, and then you would know that the gift comes from Him. It is not from you.
You know, Brother Wayne, you caught my attention literally right off the bat, right from the beginning, with this statement. You said something along the lines of, in all you're doing, in all you're living, in all your religion, don't miss Jesus Christ. And may each one and every one of us look inwardly and evaluate what we're doing and why we are doing it. You know, are we proclaiming Jesus Christ because He saved us, redeemed us, and we just want to bring glory to His name? Are we, in fact, still lost ourselves and we're simply trying to earn our own way into heaven? You know, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done in the past or what you're still doing currently, Jesus Christ can save your soul. You know, even if you're off in all kinds of public sin and wickedness, never been in church, or even if you're the one that's always been in church and that others look at and think, wow, what a great Christian. You know, but if you've never truly been humbled before God, if you've never repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, then you are lost and you are bound for an eternity in hell. I'd encourage you to trust Him today. Trust Him today. You know, one final thought in this passage in Matthew, you notice these people stand before God and boldly proclaim that they have done much for God. But in Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we find that the saints in heaven that have overcome the beast are loudly proclaiming something totally different. These are saved people, and they're proclaiming this. They say, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Notice how the first group are boldly proclaiming their own righteousness and works, and the Lord proclaims He never knew them, while the second group is proclaiming how glorious and wonderful God is and how great His works are. And we'd ask, which group are we in today? Do we proclaim God's glory, or are we secretly trying to proclaim our own good works? You know, today as we come to a close, we want to remind you to check out our website at independencebaptist.org. We want to remind you to come and join us for services today. We'll start at 10 o'clock. We're at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And we do finally want to thank you for attending this morning, and we encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.